amongst themselves, custom was a stronger bar than locks and alarms. Those who found trespass unimaginable would find it hard to imagine trespassers. Briefly, she wondered what it might be like to live in a society that did not bar its doors. Her implant returned the datum that buildings of this style were called remonstratoria, or halls of remonstration. They were thought to be either law courts or temples, but no off-worlder had ever been inside one, and what rites were performed within remained a mystery. Wonderful, she could add sacrilege to her list of offenses. The door swung noiselessly inward, revealing a darkened corridor. She stepped through, closing the door softly, found herself in a rough basement. She squatted there, panting from her run, and sniffed. A harsh chemical odor stung her nostrils. It might mask the odor of a human being, a custodian, or a night watchman. But listening, she heard nothing save the creaking and settling of the building itself. This was an old building. She could smell the age in the dank stone and the seasoned wood. Years had soaked into them and settled there. Old buildings are sacred in societies ruled by custom. Sacred because it was old, or old because it was sacred, it made no difference. But how could she enter such a building and not explore? Hounds are, by their very nature, always sniffing around. She picked out a flight of old wooden steps twisting up a narrow stairwell. The runners had rounded dips in their centers, worn by countless feet over countless years. She thought the building might predate the reconnection, when some of the diaspora worlds had recovered the ability to slide between the stars. Stairs are meant for climbing, and so she did. She paused again on the main floor to sniff and listen. The chemical scents were stronger here, but the silences remained as profound. Light glimmered through shutter slats covering the windows. A tree must have stood between the window and the street lamp, because the light flickered irregularly as the branches outside wavered in the fitful night breeze. She made out row after row of racks reaching nearly to the ceiling and arranged in rigid precision from the front of the room to its back. The severity of the geometry was at one with the architecture of the building and very unlike the free-flowing, unwalled improvisations of modern cockers. A library, she thought, or possibly an art gallery. Drawing nearer, she discerned solid objects mounted to the walls. Sculpture, perhaps. If so, sculpture of little variety. Equally spaced in rigid rows, each seemed roughly the same size as all the others. Well, sonnets are all the same size, yet each could be an exquisitely different work of art. For the greatest art, Diebolders believed, lay in achievement within restrictions, just as accomplishment in sport required hurdles and nets and balk lines. By the way, she's a native of Diebold. That's why the reference is to Diebold. Brief bursts of dim light alternated with closeted darkness as the leaves fluttered in front of the window. Bridget Bond stepped into an aisle to get a better look at one of the sculptures and came face to face with a wide-eyed, grim-lipped elf with wild, frizzy hair. It required all of her hound's training to stifle the cry that climbed up her throat. Discovered there had been a watchman after all. But the elf said nothing. The eyes did not blink. The mouth did not part. A disembodied voice spoke through sewn still lips. I am Billy Kisselwando. I killed my partner in a drunken fit. And the horror of discovery gave way to the discovery of horror. It was a head, carefully preserved by the taxidermist's art, eyes replaced by glass, lips stitched closed, mounted to a wall bracket. Beneath was a plaque bearing a name, an offense, and a date. Evidently, if someone stood for a time before a particular head, an intelligence would play that person's last words. When Billy Kisselwando killed his partner in a drunken fit, he was given 100 days grace to set his affairs in order and to meditate, which he did. He set off into the Malawaya wilderness with a rucksack, a hiking staff, and a small but faithful terrier. He emerged after 99 days, minus dog and staff, and reported to the district head, confessed his sin, and prayed forgiveness from his partners, Manu. Then they cut off his head, preserved it, and mounted it in the Hall of Remonstration, where it is admired by all who pass through the Nolapatati district on their journeys. And forever afterward he repeated his confession to all who came to see him. Such is the cruelty of custom. Not that a man be given the grace to contemplate his end, but that he feels bound to honor its expiration. Bridget Bond contemplated the head of Billy Kisawondo in past judgment. Now that's different, she said aloud. She wandered fascinated through the hall and found aisle after aisle of stuffed and mounted heads. The panels near the street entrance were newer. Those near the back or in side chambers were older, more severe in their lines, with classical moldboards and trim. The older plaques bore dates in the former Peacock's era. The newer plaques bore galactic dates, but with the year of the peacock noted parenthetically underneath. There were fewer elves in the back rooms, and in one especially dusty room, the only heads were identifiably men and women. These older displays were crowded closer together, and the heads were tattered and moth-eaten. As the displays grew more recent, the heads converged towards the androgynous average. On the newer walls, brightly painted in the exuberant pastels of modern peacock, were mounted among the elves the heads of others, pale, flat-faced Jugurthans, golden women from Valency, thin-featured alabastrines with skin like night, even a Scythian warrior's head dripping with jewels, cruel arrogance, and barbaric splendor. And hard must have been the severing of that neck. The off-worlder faces all bore a look of immense surprise, as if they could not credit what was being done to them. All except the Scythian, who managed somehow to sneer, even in death. Curious, she waited until it spoke its confession. "Eat my dick," the head whispered. And an involuntary smile caught at the ends of Bridget Bond's lips. One thing you had to grant the barbarians of the Hadramu, they died in style. Shazam. Well, we still don't know why they were trying to conceal the Phantom Fleet from her, but that brings us to a logical denouement. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Look forward to seeing the book.